All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. March 12th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you're at. It is Wednesday. Off today. I thought I'd come up and see if I could possibly somehow do a podcast. I have been sick, man. I have had a rough February, not good. March didn't start off very good. I think we're finally coming out of it. the last time I did the podcast, I talked about being sick. Well, then I actually got really sick, and I think I had COVID. I mean, I didn't test positive for it, but yeah, it was all in the lungs, and man, it was rough, and still struggling. But whatever, we'll come up here and try, see if we can. Problem is, I forget what I talked about. If I don't somehow come up here and document something, I get lost. And so I thought I'd try to see if we can do, you know, hopefully you can bear with me. My voice isn't too horrible, but it has been a rough. I've come up here a few times and tried to do the podcast and just, nah. So we'll see what's happening. It is beautiful. Yesterday was amazing. I'm supposed to paddle today. And my coach called, and he's sick. So, man, I think we've all been sick. Hopefully we're all starting to feel better. So what's going on? I actually just got home, went up and saw my father this morning up at the Veterans Home, and he's doing okay. I was talking to a friend of mine. You know, this has been sort of a rough period in my life. Sometimes I go through shit and I just sort of suffer through it and then realize, oh my God, it's really been kind of a grind. And I think the fact is that, with my dad, he's sort of, you know, he's eventually going to pass away, unfortunately, but, it's a slow process for him, and I'm grateful we get to be there for him. And, but you know, it's weird to see my mom passed already and now my dad's starting to, you know, head in that direction. And taking care of their house and managing all of their stuff that was so important, to see it all become not that important, right? It's weird. And then my kids are growing up. My oldest son, he's freaking 19. I don't really talk to him that much. I'm trying to figure that, you know, new role out. You know, I don't want to be the father that just is always calling and bugging him. I told him the other day, I texted him, I go, you got to call me sometime. I go, I'm getting sensitive, right? I need you to at least reach out once a week or something. Just tell me how you're doing, because I don't want to bug him, right? This is his beginning of his adult journey, and I don't want to repeat myself. And, you know, when I was 19, I relied on my parents for everything. I've shared in this podcast, call my dad, what's the number for Pizza Hut? He's like, I can look it up in the phone book. I'm like, all right, I'll wait. You know, that's how fucking out of touch I was. And I don't want my kids to have to rely on me. I like to see them, you know, handling shit. And so I told him, you gotta text me every once in a while, because I just don't know. He's like, it's cool. You know, you can call. And I'm like, I know. But so it's been on my mind, and I guess I'm trying to figure out my purpose. And I know I have a purpose, and I know I have a purpose in my kid's life. My one son, he's only 14, but, you know, they're getting caught up in their friends, and so it's just been a rough couple months. maybe it's been a rough February. March has started off, not that great, but I do feel. And the other thing is, I just haven't felt good, have not felt well. And even though physically I was starting to feel better, mentally, I was down. And it wasn't until yesterday that I started to actually feel like I just don't want to go lay down, right? Because that's how I've been feeling probably for the last month or 6 weeks. I just want to do what I got to do and take a freaking nap. And that's not usually me. So I felt better yesterday, and I do feel better today. Hopefully we're on the upswing, and, you know, try to get rid of this freaking, you know, continuous sickness. Van Halen, On Fire. Well, I was for a couple weeks. Fever. But anyway, yeah, so what's been going on? I've had, so last time I did the podcast, I had to go back and listen just to remind myself what it is I even discussed. And I was talking about the first step and, you know, planning on heading towards the second step, which would have been last week. And I did not go to that meeting. I actually went to a different meeting because I just had to break it up. And that was about, I don't know, something in the big book, The Alcoholic or whatever. It was, you know, whatever. But I did sit down. You know, I've been sharing that I've been meeting with these guys I've been working with. And they've been coming over on Sunday mornings, and we've just been reading a step. Both guys pretty new. Both guys very new, in fact. And we've just been sitting around in my office reading and just chatting, right? Just chatting it out, trying to figure it out. You know, one of the guys I do work with is pretty, I shouldn't say he's religious, but he likes church. He goes to church a lot, and I think that's great. You know, to each his own, whatever you need to do. But, you know, the second step conversation, you know, we read it and discussed it. We read it and discussed some of it, or actually we just discussed it the first time we read the first step, but this past weekend, we read and discussed the second step. And it's funny because, you know, as a person that's gone through this program and sort of the path and the journey and, you know, all the ups and downs and where I've come out as is just this person that lives in a life, tries to live in a life with just peace, love, free of fear. I've said that so many freaking times. And, you know, I don't know if that's officially the way it should work, but the conversation came up of how much do I need God in my life? And, you know, the second step is, let me see. Second step is, you know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Came to believe. And it doesn't say came to believe in God. It doesn't say Jesus Christ, right? It just says came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And, you know, one of the things for me is, and I remember when I heard it for the first time, the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over, expecting different results. And I lived an insane life because, well, I never thought about it, right? I didn't start thinking about this stuff until I came into this program. But I was the guy that would do the same thing over and have the same results and then sit there and scratch the top of my head and wonder, why me, right? Why me, God? And I don't know if I was expecting different results. I just didn't care. I just did whatever I wanted. And it's funny, when I live a life like that, you know, it's pretty fucked up, right? And I became pretty used to it. Right, I've shared before, I was always, you know, when's the next shoe going to drop? When am I going to get caught again? When's my next court date? When do I got to... I have vivid memories of standing in line at the court in San Diego for either an open container ticket, you know, whatever. Disturbing the peace, whatever it was that I would get involved in that I would have to end up going to court over. And so going to court... And, you know, that kind of shit was something that was always taking place in my life. And I just had become used to it. And so when the second step, you know, and I've shared before when I did this first time, I did the second step, I really, you know, immediately I put God in there. And I had no relationship with God. And so I put zero energy or effort into the second step. I just was like, all right, I'll just go buy it and we'll figure it out later. But, you know, today what I've learned for me at least is that, you know, I can, it's sort of like my dad. It's sort of like, you know, as a young person, my dad was having to help us out a lot, help me out a lot. You know, whether it was with money, usually with money, you know, a roof over our head. He tolerated my behavior, I don't know, between him and my mother, they may have, you know, been their worst enemy, right? Because, you know, one of them might have said, that's it. And the other one said, come on, give him another chance, right? And due to that, you know, I existed that way for a long time. And, but as I got better, right, as, and this is, you know, clearly once I put down the freaking booze and the drugs, my life improved quite a bit for the most part, right? But I still got myself into some jam ups, even sober. And, but once I started to get better, right, my dependence on my parents, I remember when I did get sober, I think I was sober. I don't know, at some point, we were living here in Delaware, my parents just decided they're going to start going, you know, as people that we used to, you know, had lived in San Diego, my parents used to go to Palm Springs for golf, and, you know, they'd take a vacation there. When we came here, my parents, once we sort of started to get our shit together a little bit, my parents started going to Palm Springs, and they would just leave. And I remember taking them. I used to have to take them to the airport and pick them up, but they started to feel like they could do that, right? They could leave their house with us. They could trust us enough that we could, you know, not destroy the freaking place. And I didn't, in turn, and I didn't need them as much, right? Because I was getting better, right? As soon as fear, worry, you know, when something would happen, obviously, especially out in California, you know, if we get in trouble, first fear is I'm going to go to jail. And then second fear is how am I going to pay for all of these court costs and whether if we're going to need an attorney. So, you know, fear would show up and immediately, you know, I'd have to call my parents and beg for help. And, but once that started to stop, I didn't have to make that phone call, right? I knew my parents were there. You know, I won't say that the whole reason I ever got sober was to appease my parents, but it was nice. It was nice to be getting sober and being changing my behavior for the most part and letting them take a break. And that's sort of how I look at this relationship with God. You know, I've said before, I feel like, you know, God just constantly sort of talking to me through intuition. And, you know, it talks to me prior to doing something. It talks to me after doing something. And, you know, it guides me. You know, God guides me. I don't have to make that phone call to God like I used to have to make that phone call to my parents. And, you know, when it talks about, you know, let me read it just so I can. It says, we admitted we were powerless over, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, right? And that's where that, you know, that intuition, right, says, hey, do you want to do this again, right? Is this something we want to do again? Because we have a lot of proof that shows that doing this again probably isn't going to work out, hence the insanity, right? And so, you know, I started having to listen to my intuition for a long time, right? As a young person, I would have that same intuition, but I chose to ignore it. You know, I knew this was a bad idea. I knew drinking and driving was a bad idea. I knew all the shit that I used to do was a bad idea, but I didn't care, right? I know when I was living in California doing a lot of drugs and selling drugs, and I knew it was a bad idea. In fact, the whole time that I existed like that, I knew in the back of my mind that I was going to get caught. Nobody retires from selling drugs. Nobody says, I've had enough. No, reality shows up, usually through the front door or the back door with a boot, and, you know, your life changes. And then, right, then we become willing, right? And I didn't even become willing. I remember getting busted, getting raided, going to jail. My dealer got me out of jail, gave me a bunch more drugs to, you know, to sell to get myself out of this predicament. Very helpful guy. Actually, really liked that dude. It's a shame. I'm sure, looking back, his intentions were to save his ass, and that's fine. But really, a good guy. It's unfortunate. met so many really good people in that lifetime or that period of my life doing drugs. And all those relationships were tight, right? Because drugs were involved. People wanted something. I needed something. And so, the point was is that it's not like I got busted and said, well, shit, that was a bad idea. Let's not do that anymore. I got high the next day. And I stayed high all the way until I went to jail. And every day I told myself, going to court. I remember going to court. I'm like, all right, I got to go to court next week. I need to not go to court high. And I'd say, well, I'll start tomorrow, right? And I'll start tomorrow. And I'll start tomorrow. And then it's day of court. And I'm high. And off we go, right, to court high. And it was just, I couldn't make a good decision, right? I couldn't stop the insanity. I personally think at that point I'm pretty much possessed by a spirit. Today, right, I don't want to be that insane. I want to have God in my life. But like I said, it's through my behavior and my intuition, and it's more preventative, right? I try to live a more higher power preventative lifestyle than I do of I need God when I've fucked up again, right? And so me telling him and my message to him was, sometimes we don't need God as much as we think. And that's sort of like, I've said this before, like with the 9-step promises, right? People come into the program, going to a 9-step promises meeting and hearing about the promises and wanting these things, right? We want them because we don't have them. But, once we settle in, right, and start working with the sponsor and start working these steps and work through steps one where we admit, right, and then we get to this step where we pay attention or not, we'll put a pin in it, we'll come back, and we start working on the third step and start making better choices, right, and it reflects on our life and all of these things. Step by step, we get to the 9th step, and at the 9th step, we've done so much work, the promises come true, and we are not as interested in the promises because we're living in the promises. It's just this, and it's the same thing for me, at least, with God is, having done all this, having cleared a lot of this shit up, having an understanding what that higher power really is, if I follow these steps and behave correctly, I don't need God, right? My buddy Matt used to say, don't ask God for anything. I don't. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping me another day sober. I do say watch out over us while we sleep tonight, but, do it, don't. I don't know. Point is, I'm not like, dear God, fix my job. Dear God, fix my car. Dear God, fix my relationships. Dear God, bring me money. Dear God, preventative instead of like, I need to be something fixed. And if I can live that life, I'm not making that, I'm not reaching out to God. I'm just existing. I'm living with peace, love, and free of fear. And it's, the fucked up part is it's very simple. I was telling somebody, I go, we have this whole years, thousands of years of religion or whatever it is, and it's all, for the same thing. Be good people. Be a good person. Every person that goes to church, the message is, right, how can we be a better person? How can we be of help to somebody, right? How can I take a hard look at myself when times are tough, right? How can I have a relationship with God? It's the same thing. Turns out if we do these steps, if having done these 12 steps, I don't have to go to church, right? I know what my problem is, and it's pretty simple if I choose, to participate. And, I didn't share this. It happened. This was kind of a big deal. I signed up to take the secretary commitment for the month of March for the home group that I belong to. And, like I used to always do, man, I love to, I'm like, all right, I got the month of March. These are the days. I reach out to the people, right? I had some great guys up in Frankfurt. That's a little far. I love their message. my buddy Dean, you know, I asked him to come up. I've got it all figured out, right? So there's another person that was celebrating. She's like, I need to speak on this day. I'm like, you got it. I'm doing everything right. I'm ahead of the schedule. I'm using the tools that I didn't used to do, right? In the beginning, back in the day, I'd just show up and be like, shit, I forgot to ask somebody to speak. Can you speak? I've spent years discussing how much I hate that. I'm not going to be the guy. I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to do this like a mature person in recovery. And so I set it all up, right? And I show up to the meeting on Wednesday last week. And, of course, that morning, the guy that was supposed to speak said, my car broke down. I can't speak. I was like, shit. So then I reach out to the one guy who was supposed to speak later in the month, I thought, right? Hey, so-and-so can't speak. Can you come and speak? He says, well, you had already scheduled me to speak tonight. And I was like, shit, now I've already fucked up, right? Now I'm annoyed, right? I'm like, damn it. Because I tried. I really tried. And so I go, well, great. Well, then can you come speak tonight? He's like, yes. He goes, I can come speak if you need me. If not, my services could be used in other places. And I said, I need you. So right away, I'm out of my comfort zone because now I'm scrambling a little bit. And so I get to the meeting. I walk in, and there's a guy there. He's like, are you the secretary? And I go, yep. And he goes, you got a speaker tonight. You got a speaker next week. You have a speaker the following week. So-and-so celebrating. And I'm like, what the fuck, right? Because now I am inconvenienced. Arrogance shows up. Hold on. Arrogance is in the room because now I am annoyed. Because don't they know all the work I've been trying to do to get this set up? I'm like, so I said, okay. So I call my guy. I go, are you close? He's like, we're getting close. I go, I tell you, I don't need you tonight. I'm sorry. Someone's celebrating. And I fucked up. And he goes, it's all good. We'll go to a different meeting. I go, that's fine. I appreciate it. And he's like, listen, we all appreciate what you're trying to do. And I said, yeah. And so he was off the hook. I come back and sit down. And the only thing I can think of at the moment is that I'm fucking leaving this home group, right? This is bullshit. And I had to check myself. And, you know, there's a guy sitting next to me who's celebrating 3 years. And I have to remind myself, hey, there's a guy sitting next to you celebrating 3 years. Congratulate him. But stop making this about you. And so I said, you know what, man, congratulations. You know, I'm sorry. Because he could see in my face I was totally annoyed. And I was annoyed. But I also haven't felt well, right? I'm off my game. And I'm just trying to hold it together. And so anyway, I had to cancel all the people speaking. And then I went home, and my buddy Bruce texts me, and he goes, you know, he's the one that was like, so-and-so this and so-and-so that. And I was like, he could have fucking called me, right? He could have reached out. And he texts me, he goes, you know, I just wanted to apologize. I didn't mean to screw up the month for you. And I wrote back and I said, you know, I said, what did he say? I'll read it. Cause he was, you know, and I appreciate this guy. He said, hey, sorry for the confusion about tonight. One calendar had the month of March open. I didn't know you were chairing. I do apologize for screwing up your calendar. Sorry. And I wrote back. I said, thank you. I appreciate that. I was pretty annoyed at first, only because I've been reaching out to several people trying to set up people to speak. And then there's some confusion tonight with the guy that was supposed to speak. So I rearranged another guy to come speak. And so, yeah, I was annoyed. But honestly, I should have checked the calendar to see if there were possible people that were celebrating before I started picking people. So in the end, it's really, you know, my fault, but I appreciate it. And that's a fact. It was my fault. You know, I'll give myself 85% credit. I was trying, but the reality is I should have checked the calendar to see who was celebrating, because in our home group, people that celebrate, we celebrate them, you know, during the week. And I didn't check. And so it was my fault, and I have to be better about that. And you know what? Once, you know, it's in, I knew it right away, right? I knew this right away. But it wasn't until I finally said, you know, Tom, this is your fault. You should have looked at that calendar. I get to put some peace to it, right? I could find myself back in the peace, because until I have to be, until I can become accountable and recognize where I fucked up, I'm just a victim, right? I become a victim of the meeting. I become a victim of Bruce. And I don't want to be, that's insanity, right? That's insanity. So I, it actually is, it's really a, sort of a relief because, you know, as a person trying to find people, it's not always easy. If I had just looked at the calendar and seen that basically all I needed to find was one person for the whole month because every other week was filled with someone celebrating their anniversary, I had less work to do. But I didn't do that. So, you know, to put a pin in number two, and I told my buddy, I go, listen, I think it's great. I didn't want him to think that I was telling him he shouldn't go to church, because I don't, that's not what I believe. I think that if he wants to go to church, he should go to church. That is great. But my point was that if we change our lives, right, and we start living honestly good lives, and I'm talking publicly and privately, right? Publicly is real easy. It's when no one's looking, life is the tough one. And when over time, we will clean that up, right? And there are probably people that are listening to this podcast going, I know what you're talking about, because privately, I have some flaws. Over time, if we can stay sober and work these steps, we can clean that stuff up, right? And we start to live a life holding the hand of God. And at that time, you know, you don't need, right? I don't need to ask for forgiveness so much, right? I don't need, you know, to recognize my mistakes. You know, hopefully I'm not making as many. And so that was my point to him, right? Live a better life, and we don't need God as much as we did. But that doesn't mean that God's not with us all the time. It's just not a freaking emergency, right? All right, let me read the daily reflections, and then I'm going to, I don't know. But I needed to do this podcast. I was like, I have been so sick, and I've tried, and I'm just, so forgive me, but I'm back. All right. A day's plan, March 12th. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Ooh, Alcoholics Anonymous, page 86. Every day I ask God to kindle within me the fire of his love, so that love, burning bright and clear, will illuminate my thinking and permit me to better do his will. Throughout the day, as I allow outside circumstances to dampen my spirits, I ask God to sear my consciousness with the awareness that I can start my day over at any time. I choose 100 times if necessary. That's right. Yep. It's a continuous relationship. Not just my life's fucking out of control, and all of a sudden, I need you now, God. So, all right, well, listen, thank you for letting me share. I appreciate it. I hope everyone's doing well, and we'll catch you later. Bye.